fight a little longer, my friend. It's all worth it in the end. But when you got nobody to turn to, just hold on.
Hey guys, welcome to the One Way Youth United podcast. And can you believe it? We're already on episode 2.
Episode 2 already, Jared?
Yep.
Man, it feels just like yesterday we did our first episode.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I realized? Last week when we were doing an introduction, I totally realized that like I didn't really give like my background on like my youth ministry experience and stuff like that. So
sounds to me like it's a good time.
Yeah. Okay. So I probably in all, like I have like about 14 years of youth ministry experience. So I did probably, you know, I've done Awana when I was younger, you know, grew up in a Christian home. So I've always had like the Christian influence on my life. And I probably did like around like 7 years of like youth group ministry. Okay. In church.
Okay.
And then currently I'm on this will be my 8th year on just involved with Young Life.
8 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. It sounds like you've had a wide variety of working with youth over your short time on earth. You are 35.
Yeah.
35 with lots of years of experience. You know, what's funny is, in my youth, I did Awanas as well. Yes. Hmm. So I've done Awanas. I've done Bible camps. I've done lots of youth retreats as well. But I can't say that I have 8 years of working with Young Life, Jared.
Yeah.
So there you have definitely established yourself in this youth ministry.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So today, you know, our topic of what we're talking about today is just the idea of ministry being lonely, you know, because I feel like, you know, single people feel that a lot, but I think also like a pastor that's married can feel that as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, absolutely. I think our listener audience should know that both of us are single.
Yeah.
And our phone number is 360. So yeah, doing ministry and the loneliness of ministry, and it's not just that physical or emotional loneliness. There's a mental loneliness that goes to this. That thinks that, you know, I remember doing youth ministry by myself, where if I didn't have my youth leaders around me, I couldn't bounce ideas off of them at a particular time.
So yeah.
I definitely get that.
Yeah. So the question that I think is a great question to start off with is, you know, what is the hardest thing about church life and ministry life being a single person?
Church life and ministry life.
Yeah.
Sure, sure. You know, first off, that's a great question. I think that's a great question that every ministry facet, every person in ministry has to answer that question.
Yeah.
And I think for me, what it's always been with is expectations. Mm-hmm. I have expectations from the senior pastor, leadership, elder board, deacons, but then I also have expectations from the student ministry, the actual students themselves.
Yeah.
But then if I have any family members, there's expectations, right? Yeah. So you're looking at three different levels of expectations. You're one person with many hats. But how do you do? How do I continue to be who I am in the Lord, but also meeting his expectations first and foremost?
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's been said that though Christ met many miracles and many needs, he didn't always meet everybody's expectations. He didn't meet the Pharisees' expectations. He didn't meet the disciples' expectations. Yeah. He didn't meet the people even on Passion Week, as he's coming down on this donkey, as they shout Hosanna. There are expectations that he's coming in as a king that was going to take over the Roman Empire, and that he was going to be established as king, an earthly king. So expectations of so many different peoples was one of the most toughest things. What about you, Jared? What would you say that in your life and ministry, what would you say is one of the toughest things in regards to ministry and church life and ministry life?
I mean, in terms of church life, I think the, you know, one of the biggest things is I think, especially being like a single person, is like church is like a very, has become very family oriented. So, I mean, you got like, you know, in church, you got like the young marrieds groups, like the family groups and all this stuff. And so it's like this thing of this idea where I feel like churches haven't been able to figure out how to create like a community of and reach like students past 25. And, you know, and so it's just like this assumption that I think the church gives off of, you know, it's like, oh, well, you've been doing ministry or whatever, and you're single, there must be something wrong with you, or, you know, and, you know, and it's just this idea that I think is just, that it also plays into like volunteers a lot of times, because I think volunteers are more prone to, like work with you if you are married. And sometimes I think that's a weird concept,
but it does happen.
Yeah, absolutely. It does happen.
It does happen. Absolutely.
And, you know, I also think the interesting thing is like, just in terms of ministry, I think that there's this stereotype of like working in a church setting or even, you know, out parachurch, like Young Life, there's this expectation of, you know, like a married person, you know, they're gonna say, oh yeah, well, you can do this, but I'm not gonna ask you to do this because you have to take care of your family and kids, you know. And then as a single person, it's almost like, well, you can do this and you can do this and you can do this. And so it's like, well, you don't have any other extra time
to do
anything. So it's like, you can do all this extra ministry stuff.
It's the pros and cons. And what I like our listeners to hear is there's nothing wrong with singleness, but there is the concept of loneliness in ministry. You know, Paul says that he'd rather we be single, right? Because it gives us what you just shared, Jared, is the idea of we have the ability as single people to go and do at any given time. As a long-term missionary myself, serving with YWAM, I have that flexibility to go to China, to go to Mongolia, to go to Vietnam, to go to the Philippines, South Korea, to go to these other countries at really what's known as is just a financial whim. It's not a spouse or child inclusion. It's just me, myself, and I at that point, which is a lot more flexible. But I definitely again want to emphasize that this is not a podcast where we are coming on and saying that singleness sucks.
Yeah,
that's not the case. Singleness is for some. It's not for everybody, but it's the loneliness that we are talking about from the aspects of doing ministry in pertaining to both adults and youth.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I also think that like, I think that when we talk about this idea, I think that like a lot of our youth have this expectation of, you know, that they're not cool or whatever unless they are in a relationship. I think the importance of understanding that, you know, marriage is not the end game of life. It's their relationship with Christ and what that looks like. Absolutely. You know, and if like they end up being single, then they end up being single, but it's not, and it's, but for them to understand is as easy, as hard as that may sound, you know, that's may be, you know, the plan that God has for them.
Sure. Absolutely. You know, we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? As they say, we know that if, you know, if we read any scripture whatsoever, the scriptures are very clear. It says, a man who finds a wife finds a good thing. So it's God who ordains marriage. It's really ultimately God calls us to be the bridegroom, right? So it's really the idea that there is this intimate relationship with Jesus in this marriage, but there's absolutely nothing wrong with being married. I for one, absolutely endorse marriage. I love marriage. I hope and pray to one day be married, without a doubt. Absolutely, I look forward to that day where we can bounce off ideas with my spouse.
Yeah. You know, this is one thing I was just thinking about, and I think it's kind of funny, is that I think probably a lot of people, especially in the Christian community, look at singles that are serving in the church, you know, always as the idea that we're always on the prowl. Hey, you know, there's this new girl in church, you should talk to her. Yeah. Or, hey, there's this new guy in church, you know? And so it's like, they're always, you know, trying to set you up.
And I've been there, done that. Absolutely.
And yeah, I just think that's a funny idea that I had. Mm-hmm. I mean, so what do you, I mean, I guess, so is there anything that looks, the subject of anything that looks different for like a single person in ministry versus a married person?
Sure. Well, there's many facets of to that question, because you can be definitely single and do ministry. You can definitely be married and do ministry. But where that play is, where the context of team plays in is when I am a single person and I'm dealing with students and I'm dealing with volunteers, that's one level. If I'm married, is my wife on board with ministry? Because you can be married, but if she or he is not participating in the youth program, it may not be their calling. It may not be their passion. So there's that idea as well. But when you have a husband and a wife working together, and you're championing each other, and you're promoting each other, and you're serving one another in ministry, that in itself is an amazing testimony of watching God work in a marriage. But you know, there's multiple levels to that question, right?
Yeah.
There really is. There is no really one easy answer, but it's doable.
Yeah.
It's doable.
For sure. And I mean, I guess going into that, the next kind of idea is, how can, I mean, because I feel like a lot of like leaders, like higher up leaders and stuff that probably are maybe tuning in, like, I feel like they probably need to understand how to better cater to single people and, you know, in ministry and, and what that looks like for them, you know, and like one idea that I kind of have is, you know, this idea that like, you know, single people sometimes like create opportunities to keep themselves busy, you know? So like if a single person likes rock climbing or, you know,
biking
or whatever, it's this idea of, you know, celebrating them in that and, you know, and what that looks like and celebrating their hobby, you know, rather than trying to, you know, make them do everything that other people don't want to do in terms of ministry.
Sure. You know, one of the things is that comes to mind is for every youth worker out there that has this feeling of what we're talking about, I recommend a book called Boundaries. It's a great book. It's actually used it's used in marriages. It's used in families. But in that you're drawing healthy boundaries, because you have to know when to say no. And no is such a good word. It's a great word. It's not the idea that no has a negative connotation, like you're not willing to do something, because sometimes no means I'm willing to go this far because this is what I have. And then what's going to happen is everything else beyond that no is just a downslide.
Yeah.
Now it becomes a task. Now it becomes you're just doing it for the sake of people pleasing. And there is, you know, in this time, there is a thing such as self-care.
Yeah.
And for me, you know, I've recently taken up biking, and I love that aspect of self-care where it's just me and the road. So that in itself, God has spoken to me, and it's fun for me. But healthy boundaries is the beginning of what you're talking about, where people can go, okay, you know, Ariel, Jared, and everybody else, they're not willing to do this beyond this, not because they're selfish, but because it's the exact opposite.
For sure.
They want to give to themselves so that they can give. If you are not replenishing your spirit, you can't give. You know, that's why the Bible says that we are to continue to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because if we're doing this relationship with the Holy Spirit, right, there's an overflow.
Yeah.
There's an overflow onto others. But if we are just drain ourselves, Jared, we got nothing to give.
Yeah.
We got nothing to give.
No, I like that. And you're talking about this, you know, this idea of us giving.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it plays into this next idea of like our, you know, really being lonely. Is I think as people in ministry, I think we give
mm-hmm.
Way too much. And, you know, there's this idea that, like, I heard someone say once is that, like, in terms of ministry, that, like, we have no true friends. And, like, the idea is that, like, you know, our true friendship is ultimately what's going to sustain our ministry. But it just in terms of, like, all that, we tend to be to ourselves. You know, if we're going through a tough time, we don't ask for help because we're like, well, what is that person going to think of me?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I think it's just we try to deal with it ourselves instead of, you know, asking for help.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and you know, that's such a great point. It's historically there's been both sides of the coin for me where for me, asking for help was like pulling a hen's teeth. It was difficult. It was rare for somebody to go, you know, I want to help. Sometimes people feel like that's not their gift. And I absolutely understand that. And the other side is where you have willing volunteers, but you don't utilize them in their talents, because what's happened is you've become kind of you've become callous to the idea that there was nobody willing to help you before, but now you have people who are willing to help, and you don't want to. You feel like you might overuse them. So there's been definitely two sides of that coin in regards to asking for help and not asking for help.
Yeah, for sure. And like, I think I think especially now with, you know, the coronavirus and stuff, I think that's like the most important thing is asking for help. And, you know, and I think there's this idea that I think is important. And I mean, you're the one that put this idea in my head, is just this idea of how important it is to connect with like other youth pastors, youth leaders in the community.
Yes.
But I mean, I think something that I would add to that is like, I don't think we should just like connect with them on the level of, you know, getting together and, you know, how we can build youth more in the community. I mean, that's important, but I think there's also this other idea of that, of doing life together and encouraging one another, because it's one of those things is like, I think just if we've been in ministry long enough, the loneliness does get to you. And I think that's why so many youth ministers, youth leaders, and just people in youth ministry in general get burned out so fast.
You know, you're absolutely right. And that's why I created Youth Nighted, Jared. I created that camaraderie of frontline ministers, pastors, youth workers, that Youth Nighted, that's really just coming together. Obviously, it's a play on words between youth and united. Yeah. And it's just coming together. And it was really out of 1 Corinthians 12:12 that says that we are one body with many parts. And I'm a big believer in bridging people together. Just today, I bridged a youth who loves music with somebody who produces music. I got them together. They're collaborating. And the idea is they have a heart for music and they have a heart for God. Those two combinations together is just a beautiful conglomeration of really essentially what's going to happen is God's glory will come from it.
Yeah.
But coming together in ministry, we get to talk about the ups, the highs, the lows, what's working, what's not working, and getting to lean on each other for ideas. I just spoke with a local youth pastor here in the county yesterday for 2 hours over the phone. And we had great ideas of sharing of what he's doing for his youth program through different social medias. I gave him some ideas. He gave me some ideas. And that is the idea.
Yeah.
Is we are serving the body of Christ and trying to do kingdom building. I'm not trying to build Ariel's kingdom. The pastor's not trying to build his kingdom. You're not trying to build your kingdom.
Yeah.
This is kingdom building. So that's why I really created Youth United.
For sure. Yeah, I really like that. And I think to add on to that, I think it's also this idea of, because I think we've touched on it a little bit, but just like I think that we have this idea that we have this like lack of accountability. And I think by also doing what we've been talking about, what we're doing, is it gives us this lack of accountability, you know, not just for what we're doing in our ministry, but, you know, life struggles and stuff as well.
Absolutely. I think what takes place is when you do life together like that, when you talk about accountability, what it does is it's not just accountability to time, but really what it does also is it's accountability, inspiration, and effort. I know that there have been youth pastors in my life that I talk to, and man, I just get fired up and jazzed when I'm feeling like this thing is not working, and I'm maybe ready to throw in the towel because maybe I'm just done or whatever the case may be. They energize me, and they give me hope. Really, that's essentially what it is a hope for what is to come.
Yeah.
Right. And it's that increasing of faith. So the idea of coming together and talking about accountability is also saying, Jared, are you in the Word?
Yeah.
Ariel, are you in the Word? You know, Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, and Mike, you know, all of the Jackson Five, are you in the Word? That it's important, because that's the first and foremost baseline of accountability. Is if you're not in the Word, how can you share the Word? How can you live the Word? How can you see the character and nature of God if you're not in it? And ultimately, it's the Holy Spirit that inspires. But He does use people like you and myself to inspire one another.
Yeah. Oh, that was like gold right there. I mean, I think, yeah. And I do have this idea. I mean, it might be it's in the same subject, but it's a kind of, it might be a little bit off. But I just was kind of thinking about this idea. And I think is that, you know, Satan is kind of the one that puts this idea in our head of that being alone, and that, you know, we're not this and we're not equipped to do ministry. Mm-hmm. Like we often think sure. when we get in this sure. like dumb thing of being alone.
Sure.
And so, I mean, like the biggest question that I think we're all kind of like asking in our head a lot of times is this idea that do we believe that God is enough?
You know, okay, so man, that is a heavy hitting question. Is number one, is God enough? Is he sufficient? Absolutely. Where we lack in our humanistic nature is we lose and we get out of balance when we don't have that accountability. Because what happens is now our identity is being challenged. It's are you good enough? Do you have the right education? Are you tall enough? Are you funny enough? Do you have all the bells and whistles yeah. in us? And what happens is Satan will come in and you hit it in the nose. He attacks our identity as, are we good enough? And he did it in the garden.
Yeah.
He did it in the garden. And not just did he do it in the garden with authority, but he also did it with Jesus in the temptation. If you are, right? And Jesus always went back to scripture. That accountability of going back to scripture, just like we were just talking about. So yeah, absolutely. Jared, I've been doing youth ministry since 1998. And that question is, am I good enough? It's always something that the devil will always attack. But it also is always more so in circumstances when a relationship is going haywire. Mm. Maybe it's a relationship with a senior pastor.
Yeah.
Senior pastor, I got this great idea. You know, I don't think you should do that. And everything I heard in that statement was the active word of you.
Hmm.
I don't think you should do it. Maybe if, and there's that identity challenge, right?
Yeah.
If I was somebody else, would you say, maybe you should do it? Or maybe it could be done. Yeah. Am I not good enough? So there's that identity. There's that identity being attacked. And you're absolutely right. Satan will attack you. Am I the right person for this ministry?
Yeah.
And it happens to everybody.
Yeah, for sure. Like I think when we think about that, I just think you look at, you look at someone like Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and he was one of those guys that like, you know, you read his books and just his like passion for the gospel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, you know, he probably thought that same way because like, you know, he had all these friends. And then when he was like, and then as he progressed, you know, it was like all of his friends started to abandon him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he probably thought that whole idea of, you know, what we're talking about right now mm-hmm. is like, is God enough for me to get through this? You know, because I just lost like, all my friends.
Sure, sure. You bring up Paul. And if you don't mind,
yeah.
I'm going to step it up even a notch. Oh, yeah. Let's go to Messiah himself. Let's go to Christ himself. When he says, you will not see the kingdom of heaven if you do not partake, right? When he says, this is my body, this is my blood, some of the disciples said, boom, I'm out of here, peace, right? Because they challenged that. Who is this guy? I mean, even his family. Even James had issues with him early on. So absolutely. That is a great statement yet again. Great question. In regards to, you know, Paul and even again the incarnate God in the flesh being left.
Yeah.
Being left. So it's going to happen. It will happen.
Yeah. So let's see. Any other like final thoughts about loneliness in ministry, single or anything like that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for asking. You know, one of the things that I would highly recommend and I always do, I always recommend this, Jared, is get a mentor. Get a mentor. Get somebody who you are accountable to, who you are open with, who you're transparent with, and get somebody who doesn't agree with you.
For sure.
Get somebody who you will make a statement and just say, well, let's take a look at that. Let's dissect that. Is that the right thing to do? Right? Is that the right thing to say? And not challenging your identity or your ability, But somebody who is going to hold you accountable because they believe in what you're doing and promotes and champions what you're doing, but takes you to a spiritual next level.
Yes.
So with parents and with youth workers, with youth volunteers, get a mentor.
Yeah.
And this doesn't just go to singleness. This goes to married couples as well. Yeah. In one way or another, this will ministry overall will affect.
Amen.
Affect it. So that is my that would right there be my parting gift. If you don't have one already, get yourself a mentor, get yourself a spiritual mentor, get yourself a Dr. Kina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess I love that. And I guess my parting thought would just be this idea that for, you know, youth leaders, youth ministers out there that are listening to this podcast, like, I think so often, like, we think, you know, we're the only one out there that's single mm-hmm. trying to do ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that a lot. But I think for us to understand is that, like, no, there are single youth leaders, youth ministers out there,
mm-hmm.
you know, and if you need encouragement or help, you know, we're out there willing to give you the help.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this idea that I think, you know, so much of our life, we think that, like, you know, our life starts once we get married.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's the right mindset. Like, I think our life and where we're at in ministry right now started when we created that relationship with Christ.
Absolutely. I agree. Jared, I think this is a good time to tell our listeners on how they can comment and how they can reach us via email. If you have a comment or you want to email us any questions, please email ajyouthnited@gmail.com. That's Ariel Jared Youthnited, but with the E actually a 3. So that's ajyouthnited3d@gmail.com. Email us your questions, your concerns. Maybe give us some thoughts and ideas for a future podcast. What do you think about that, Jared?
Yeah. And if you didn't catch that, the email will also be in the under the description of this podcast. Thanks for listening to episode 2, and we'll see you guys in episode 3.
This was fun. Thank you so much for joining us. Please like and share this podcast.
Yeah, we'd love to know your thoughts. And yeah,
until next time, Jared.
All right.